Okay, so today's message is called Leaving a Legacy. And the things I'm going to share with you are about making a difference. Now, this is a message for fathers. It's a message for mothers. It's a message for anybody who's breathing. So if the person next to you is not breathing, please ask them to leave the room. That was a really bad joke. I'm just going to see if this is going to work. There we go. So I want to talk about leadership, but I want to talk about leadership in a way that maybe you haven't thought of before. And I know that people say leadership for Christians is all about servant leadership, and that's true. It definitely is that. But I want to share something with you that goes well beyond that. It is about serving, but it's a definition that I believe will help you to see what God is doing. And I think that's most important. We're also going to have a little bit of a look at how we influence other people and what impact that influence can have down through the generations. So, this is the definition. Now, it's small, so just remember that time at the optometrist, and if you need your contacts, they'll be on your phone. Okay, so leadership is the intentional influence in the context of relationship. I'll read that again. Leadership is the intentional influence in the context of relationship. I want to share... I actually went too far, and now I can't read it, so I'll just go back one. I just want to share this verse with you. I know it's a little small for you. It is very small. I'll read it for you. Here we go. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 to 8, and it says these words. This is Paul as he writes to the church in Thessalonica. We are not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Now, to me, that sounds like intentional influence in the context of relationship. Relationship is everything. Here's another one from Deuteronomy 6. And this one, many would be familiar with this particular passage. It's also known as the Shema. It says, hear, that's the Hebrew word to hear. And by the way, that word hear doesn't just mean to listen. It means to listen and obey. That's what James was talking about. He was talking about the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Now, to me, that sounds like intentional influence in the context of relationship. And it does, because it is. God is very intentional in his leadership of us. And that certainly is in the context of a wonderful relationship with him. So, this particular passage, you won't be able to read it. I'll just read it to you. This is taken from Psalm 78. And it's the first 8 verses. And I believe that this is one of the greatest calls to intergenerational leadership. Maybe you haven't heard that before. Intergenerational leadership. That is said in anywhere in the Bible at all. So this is Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. Just that section there where it talks about the children yet unborn, we don't realize the impact that we're having on future generations. The decisions that we're making today, the things we share, not just with our children, but with our families, with the people that we work with, will ring through, for good or bad, right down through the generations. In fact, there's not a person here that's not in this room, and you may not believe this is true, but I 100% believe this is true, that you're here because someone prayed for you. Even if no human sinner was praying for you, I'm leading somewhere with this, Jesus was praying for you. The Bible says that He ever lives to make intercession for them. So you're here because Jesus wants you to be here. So there's our theme for the day, if you like. Leadership being intentional influence in the context of relationship. Now, I'm a teacher. I work at Thornley Christian College, and I do get to do a little bit of work in the classroom. In fact, one of the things I'm teaching at the moment is developing a biblical worldview. So if you see slides appearing over and over again, it's just the pedagogy that I'm using. I'm trying to get into your head, trying to get into your heart, and I know that God has wanted to do those things as well. So repetition is important. We had communion this morning, and thank you, Jeff, for sharing. I'm going to share something in a little while, and you'll see how God works amongst His people in our hearts and in our minds to speak the same things. So God is good. God is faithful. He is intentionally influencing us. Who's ever heard that expression before? It wasn't first coined by Sir Isaac Newton, no matter what you might think. And by the way, I have a theory about the fruit in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't actually an apple. I believe it was a pear. Because that's the shape that everything went after they ate it. That's a bit better. You can use that one as well. All right. Now, there's a fellow by the name of Stephen Covey who wrote a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. All right, well, I want to suggest that there's something more important than what he had to say. I'm not suggesting for a moment that practically a lot of the things that he had to say wasn't good, but if the apple is going to not fall far from the tree, then we need to make sure that the fruit of our lives is such that it's going to be good influence on those apples sitting around. So I want to share with you 7 habits of highly influential people. In other words, people who take leadership seriously, who are influencing others intentionally in the context of relationship. And here's the 7 habits. So you might want to put these into practice. Maybe some of them you already do practice. Read God's word daily. Yeah. That's a good idea. That's a great habit to get into. Pray regularly and with others. Paul actually says pray without ceasing. Are you praying at the moment? Good. That's a good idea. Pray regularly. Next one, attend church regularly for corporate worship, for learning, for ministry. The Bible actually says that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we should take every opportunity to stir one another up toward love and good deeds. So attend church regularly. And clearly, I am preaching to the converted. Look at you all. You are definitely here. Okay, share the gospel at every opportunity. It might be the last opportunity that you have. Last week, Pastor John was sharing with us, and people who were here last week, they're regular attenders of church, know what is on the other side of that wall.
Absolutely.
We know what, and it's not the toilets, they're a little bit further back. on the other side of that wall, he was demonstrating, we're getting closer and closer to that wall all the time. That's our demise, that was our birth on that side. And there's going to come a time when we're not here anymore. And somebody else will need to think about legacy leadership. Somebody else will need to think about the next generation and the children yet to be born. So share the gospel at every opportunity. Here's another one. Value people and add value at every opportunity that you get. It could be your last. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say something to encourage them. Doesn't matter what it is, just turn to them and say a word of encouragement to that person next to you. God wants us to value people and add value at every opportunity. Give generously. No, that's not just talking about our money, that's talking about our time, it's talking about our love. It's talking about everything that God wants to pour into us so that we can give generously to other people. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Is that right? Okay, and here's one that we sometimes forget. It's a great habit to get into. Look after God's creation. You know, when he placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them something to do. Look after my creation, he basically said. And I believe that that's something that as Christians that we need to be at the forefront, championing the cause of looking after God's creation because it is God's creation. He's blessed us with gifts and talents and abilities so that we can do just that. So let's encourage each other in the seven habits of highly influential people. Maybe we should put that in a book. What do you think? You'll find it in the Bible because all those things the Bible is encouraging us to do. They're great habits to get into. In fact, I would suggest that here is one of those verses. Yes, there it is. It's a bit small again. I'll read it to you. It's found in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 and 11, verse 1. You know the chapters that we find? They're not in the original Greek. They're not in the original Hebrew. And so I always like to find the context of everything that I'm reading. And you would have heard this verse before, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. But maybe you didn't tie the previous verse because it's the end of the previous chapter. And it says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, and the whatever you do, you're actually doing that right now, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's the context of that. You know, Paul, if you just read that verse by itself, you could have thought that Paul was a little bit arrogant. But if you read the verse before, you know that that's not the case. He wasn't arrogant. He was passionately determined to be an influence for God in the context of relationship and seek to bring glory to God in everything that he was doing. Eating, drinking, whatever the case might be, he's saying, use that to bring glory to God. Okay. All right. I like this picture. Children learn more from what you are than what you teach. That doesn't mean that they don't learn from what you teach. I think they should learn from what we can teach them. But often what we are gets in the way of what we're saying. And I know that many parents would often say, don't do as I do as I say. But it's much better that the children get to see you do as you do and say as you say. And they're both the same thing. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So these two verses spoke but to me, about this whole idea of intentional influence in the context of relationships. Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Believe it or not, parents have wisdom. And grandparents have even more wisdom. And great-grandparents, even more wisdom. And possibly great-great-grandparents. You know, God is so good to us. He's blessed us with people of every age in this church. We have so much to learn from each other. Can I encourage you, no matter which generational level that you're involved with, that you're learning, that you're listening, that you're teaching, that you're making an intentional difference in people's lives. Because what God is doing is He's using you to bring about what He wants to accomplish in other people's lives. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for the companion or a companion of fools suffers harm. Many parents talk to their children, say, don't hang out with the bad people, hang out with the good people. But you can't go somewhere where you're not going. So the first call here is on us to walk with the wise. Now, you know, who's the wisest of all? Come on, you know the answer. It's Jesus. Jesus is the wisest of all. He is our wisdom, and we need to walk with Him. Now, David, you were so kind recently because you've been sharing old hymns, right? And you just take a little chorus. And you have to be of a certain generation to know this little hymn. And if I sing out of key, but that's okay because it's the words that are important. But if you happen to know it, then be brave and help me out here. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And of course, that's I'll Stay in the Garden with Him. And that time is just so precious, isn't it? Just so wonderful. Okay. Who shops at Aldi? Put your hand up if you're an Aldi shopper. Okay. After I share this with you, shopping at Aldi will never be the same again. And for the rest of you that don't shop at Aldi, when you go past this sign, you will never see it the same way, and everybody will wonder what on earth you're making such a big deal about. The Aldi sign, that's the one. Okay, so Aldi is a good kind of different. You've probably heard the ad. Are you ready for this? Here we go. You need to know what Aldi stands for. I think it's German, but I have no idea what it means. But for me, it means this. Acknowledge, listen, depend, in step. I'll show you what I mean. So the whole idea is this is about prayer, because prayer is one of the habits that I talked about. So we're going to have a look at that. A is for acknowledge. I'll share a couple of verses with you. This is out of Revelation chapter 5. It says these words, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They circled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. I reckon that's acknowledging God. What do you think? That's the A in Aldi. I don't know about you, but when I'm reading that, hopefully when you were listening to that, because the book of Revelation actually said, blessed are those people who get to hear it, it really stirs something in my heart. Something wonderful is happening there, because that's what we have to look forward to. But we don't have to wait till we get there. We can start today. What a great habit. Okay, L. L is for listen. Yes, it is. So if Psalm 46, verse 10 says, he says, be still. You saw that they fell down and worshipped. It's pretty hard to move around too much when you're lying flat on your face. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And Isaiah 6, verse 8. Remember that vision that Isaiah had? After he was still. In fact, he realized that talking was what got him into trouble and made him his whole life unholy. But he was touched. So after acknowledgement, after seeing how wonderful God is, and thank you, Jeff, for what you shared this morning about silence. We were silent for 1 minute. In Revelation, it says there was silence in heaven for half an hour. When God's got something to say, be prepared to be silent. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. D. D is for depend. Matthew 6:33 says that we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We do need to depend on him, and we need to come with to him with our requests. I think he's overjoyed when we do that. And so we shouldn't go frightened in the sense that we're worried whether or not he's going to look after us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, technology is really interesting. It's actually quoting me on my own phone. Isn't that rather? That's Bixby. Good night, Bixby. Okay. All right. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. This is driving me crazy. Okay, I'm going to work from the screen. So if I step down every now and again, that's what's going to happen. You don't mind if I get a little bit closer, do you? The contacts are on the phone. Yes, you got me. You did get me. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We need to have lunch together sometime. I could be an influence on you. Okay, so I is for in step. Because when we spend time in prayer, acknowledging God, being silent and listening to what he has to say, bring to him the things we need to be depending on him for. We don't just get up and go, well, thanks God, I'm out of here now. It's not like you're meeting with your boss and you say, well, I'll catch up with you later. Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's continuously interact with the Lord throughout our day and not just think, well, this is my time of prayer, that's all done with, and God's going, what? That's the end of it? No. He wants us to be walking with him every day. Like that song I was attempting to sing earlier on. All right, so Aldi is a good kind of different. When you go shopping in Aldi again, is it going to be different? You'll be thinking about acknowledging. You're thinking about listening. You're thinking about depending, and you're thinking about walking in step with Jesus. How good is that? And it's a bit sad for those people who shop in Coles and Woolies, but you'll get the idea. Okay, so I thought about this, and I thought about the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer, does it have these four things in there? Is it an Aldi Lord's Prayer? Well, I think it is. So, in this manner, therefore, pray. Remember the disciples had said, Lord, teach us to pray. And there were no Aldi stores at the time. But God is so wonderful, and he shares his heart with us. This is how you should pray. And he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, to me, that sounds like acknowledging who God is and that he deserves all the glory, all the praise. Then the next thing is, your kingdom come. Your will be done. In other words, what do you want me to do today? I'm listening. It's a good kind of different, isn't it? Hey? Okay, next one. Give us, this sounds like depending. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That is definitely something we have to depend on God for. And finally, walking in step with him, How would we like to do that? Well, this is what it says. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And amen, by the way, means so be it. Say, so be it. So be it. Okay. So, Aldi, a good kind of different, a great habit to be in. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And, you know, taking the time to pray with your family, you know that saying, the family that prays together stays together? I think it used to be plays, but praying can be so much fun. Anyway, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Let's make sure that the fruit is good. Leadership, intentional influence in the context of relationship. Now, I want to share a verse with you now because David and I met for coffee. And the end of that conversation ended up with David ended up saying, would you be able to speak on the 3rd of September? And here we are today. One of the things we talked about was the habits that we have that affect our capacity for doing anything at all. And so I just want to share a few things with you that are very, very practical. And I want to use this particular scripture as an impetus or a catalyst to get us moving on that. And this is found in 3 John, or the third letter of the Apostle John. And he says these words, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health." I reckon you should turn to the person next to you and say, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health." That's a... Now, if you never pray for anything else, that's a great thing to pray for the other person for. "And that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy..." Fathers, listen to this. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Now, I'm going to go and do something right now, and the person in this room has no idea what's about to happen, but I have to do this. If you know Nick's story, you'll know why that's very special. And God is good. And all the time, God is good. That's true. I remember thinking about that, and I just knew that God was going to do something in the service with Nick, because God has been incredibly gracious, and He's working in people's lives. I can remember praying one time in David's office with David. And that wasn't just a, "Lord, please bless my son." That was a time when we really got down on our knees. And we, my wife and I, sorry. We were just crying out for my son. And so when I read that verse, it's not just words on a page. It really means something. And never give up on your kids. You know, God doesn't give up on them. Okay, so you probably noticed by now I really like God's Word. It is just so full of wonder. It says, this is talking about self-discipline. There's a couple of verses I'll share with you. "I can do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." And what I'm trying to get across here is that when we pray for good health for people, it's more than just so that they can have a lovely life. Anybody can have a lovely life. Anybody can enjoy good health. But as Christians, we've got a purpose for that. We actually have a mandate to be leaders, people of intentional influence in the context of relationship. And it's intergenerational. It's not just about the people right in front of me. It's so that they can do the same thing. "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." Have you ever thought about, you know that verse, there's another verse that talks about how exercise has some value. Some say little value. The King James says no value. But anyway, it has some value. But godliness has value for all things, both in this generation and the one to come. Both in this life, I should say, and in the one to come. Maybe both of those are true. Everyone who competes in the race goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. You know all those Olympic medals that they hand out? They're not going to last. People come in, thieves come in and steal them. There was something on the news recently about that happening. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. How cool is that? God is in the business of foreverness. All right. Please talk to me. There we go. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anybody here in Christ? Well, it's talking to you. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old one has gone. The new is here. You may be struggling in your mind. You may be struggling in your body. Your spirit has been renewed and the rest is being taken care of both along the way right through into eternity. And that's talking about your body as well. But what do you think God wants you to do so that you can be ambassadors? We therefore are Christ's ambassadors. He wants you to look after what you have. And I believe that as Christians, we should be setting an example to the rest of the world of what looking after you should look like. Not just looking after each other, but really helping each other to look after each other and to look after ourselves, because we've got a job to do. Do you remember that old hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war? With the cross of Jesus going... Oh, no. I got the tune wrong, but hey, the words are really good. Okay, we therefore are Christ's ambassadors. We have a job to do. Now, it was Ben's birthday. This is Pastor David's youngest boy, son. His birthday was on the 1st of September, and we were talking about this very issue over coffee one day. And just encouraging each other, because Ben was into fitness and trying to stay healthy, all of those kinds of things. And it's not about bragging rights. It's about looking after yourself, because God has got something for you to do. And you want to know something? The way that we look after ourselves is going to send a message to everybody around us, and particularly our children, about how they should do the same. Offer your bodies. So what should we do with our bodies? Well, here's step one. Step one is not visit your GP to see if you can exercise. That's a good thing to do, but step one is actually that we should... Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's on the right-hand side there. And remember, this is 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, think about all the ways that that can happen, whether you're eating or drinking or whatever you're doing all for the glory of God. And Paul in Romans 12 says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's about an offering. It's an offering, as Isaiah did as well, and saying, Lord, send me. I want to be a good ambassador for you. I want to be a faithful soldier for Jesus Christ. I want to be an athlete that wins the prize, a farmer that brings in the harvest. Lord, give me wisdom in how to look after my body. Lord, give me wisdom in how to look after my mind. Lord, give me wisdom in how to look after my spirit. And do you think He'll answer that prayer? Yeah. I believe He will. Okay. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-discipline. It's not the only fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it certainly is one of the things. I find this the most amazing fruit of all. Because God doesn't call us to be robots. When we surrender all to Him and we walk with Him, what's actually happening is we're becoming the best person that we can be, because we're walking in Christ. Everything He wants us to be, so that we bring him 100% of all the praise and all the honor and all of the glory, whatever that might look like in each of our lives. So the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. He gives us the capacity to control ourselves so that we can say no. No is a very powerful word. Have you ever noticed that it's one of the first things that children learn how to say? No. 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 And somebody wisely once said to me, whatever you're saying yes to, you're saying no to something else. And there's all sorts of areas in our lives where that rings true. So, just a few tips. Eat right, exercise right, sleep right. Now I sound like Ned Davies 2 weeks ago, right? Because he was saying pretty much the same kind of thing. And as I'm sitting listening to him and John Warwick and then the guys this morning, I'm thinking, wow, God, you are amazing. Your Holy Spirit really is in all of us. It's not like here, all the different Holy Spirits have got to sort each other out. That's not true. It's God. Okay, well, how we do that affects how we function in our body, mind, and spirit. And we want to be functioning optimally for Jesus. That should be our prime reason for getting out of bed in the morning. It's not to go to work, it's to serve the King. It may be going to work, you might be doing all sorts of stuff, but ultimately we get out of bed to serve the King. I'm ready, Jesus. Let's go. It affects how much we function in our body, mind, and spirit. So are we looking after our body, mind, and spirit so that we're ready for whatever Jesus calls us to do? When we're praying for one another, yeah, sure, we need to pray for health and healing and all of those things. But it's not just so that we'll be relieved of aches and pains and worries and troubles. It's because God's got something for us to do. He's got things that he wants us to do, people to see, places to go. He might want to put you on the mission field. You're not looking after yourself, you won't be able to go. You won't be ready. Be ready. Look after what God has blessed you with and you'll be surprised at what he'll be calling you to do next. So, here's some. The number seven is right throughout the Bible. And we're in September, which, believe it or not, sept means seven. So this is Super September, so I thought I'd throw some sevens in there. Is that all right? Here they are. Eat right. Now, you don't have to take notes on these, and most of these are really obvious. You will have seen them all before, but now we've got a reason for doing them. And it's not just so that we can look good on the beach. It's so that we can serve the King. That's the reason why we do things. Watch your portion size. Hydrate regularly. I might just do that now, in fact. Hydrate regularly. Get the right nutrients. Make sure that your body's getting all that it needs. Do some research. We live in an age where we've got no excuse anymore. We can look things up. We can find out what our body needs. Hydrating. It's a good idea. All right, so minimize sugar. Who likes sugar? Okay, don't have too much. It's not really that good for you. Just a little bit's fine. About that much. It's pretty difficult on a day like today, isn't it? Intermittent fasting. Now, the Bible talks about fasting probably less than most people realize. If you look up fasting in the Bible, you won't find chapters and chapters of verses about fasting. But one of the things that's really good for you, both physically and mentally, is what's known as intermittent fasting, and that's going without a meal, maybe once or twice a week. It's a good thing to do. And while you're at it, while you're not eating, go off into a quiet place and spend some time with the Lord. You're not having to prepare the food. You're not having to eat the food. You're not having to digest the food. So you might as well be spending time in prayer or reading God's word or seeking his will, whatever it is that he wants you to do. So intermittent fasting is actually a very healthy thing to do. So the next time you go without breakfast, don't think, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. It's probably not going to happen. What will probably happen is your brain will be flushed cleaner, your body will detox, all sorts of good things can happen from intermittent fasting. Avoid carcinogens, so in other words, don't consume things that are going to be cancer-causing. Avoid toxins when you possibly can. And finally, weigh yourself regularly. Just by doing that, it helps you to be able to be reminded to look after how things are going. Okay, so that's eating right. Seven things to do with exercising right. Remember, this is all because we have a purpose. We have a purpose for looking after what God has blessed us with. If you're going to exercise at all, do what you enjoy. If you don't like running, don't run. If you don't like swimming, don't swim. If you like rowing, start rowing. Find something you really enjoy. You know, Jesus really liked walking and spending time in boats. So I reckon he was pretty active. Climbing mountains even. Anybody here like hiking? I like hiking. It's a good thing to do. And exercise for optimal health, not bragging rights. It's not about how big your biceps are. It's about how big our God is and what he's calling you to do. And you're looking after yourself because you know that he's got work for you. Exercise regularly. Keep moving. They say if you stop moving, you know, I'll put you in a box. Yes. In fact, that reminds me, you know, that there's this new thing, glass coffins. Yeah. Whether or not they become popular remains to be seen. Avoid activities that encourage bad posture. And one of them is avoid long periods of sitting. Sorry about that one. You can stand up if you like. Sitting is what they consider that... No, you can stand up, Michael. That's right. Turn around, do a little dance. They reckon that sitting is the new smoking. People don't realize how bad for you it is. In fact, it even causes your blood pressure to rise, and you think the opposite was true. Avoid... Well, you can do the research yourself. Just don't say, okay, Google, or you might hear the noise like a kookaburra. Just think about that one for a minute. If you've watched too much television, you'll be laughing. Avoid, okay, and the last one, don't overdo anything. Whatever it is you're doing, you're not doing it so that you've got to break any world records or anything like that. You're doing it because Jesus loves you and he's got a task for you to do, and he wants you to be fit and healthy and well to be able to do that. All right, sleep right. I haven't put anybody to sleep yet, have I? If I fall asleep, you'll wake me up, won't you? Okay, so have a regular bedtime and wake-up time. It's good advice. Aim for 7 to 9 hours sleep. Different people need different amounts. Different ages need different amounts. Avoid screen time before bedtime. At least 45 minutes. Avoid foods 2 hours and stimulants 5 to 6 hours before bedtime. No coffee. No. If you want a good night's sleep, then coffee is not a good thing to have before you go to sleep. I know you might be thinking it doesn't affect you, but it probably affects you without you realizing it's affecting you, which is why you don't know it's affecting you. Keep the room dark, ventilated, and free of electromagnetic radiation. All those little devices, all the things that you like to power up and all this kind of stuff, take them out of your room. It's not going to help you sleep. If you want to have a good night's sleep, just put those things somewhere else. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. That sounds like a biblical... Sleep is really difficult if you're going to sleep thinking about all the things that somebody else has done to upset you. Much better that those things are sorted out, or at least you leave them at the foot of the cross and you just lay down in peace and sleep, trusting that God... That's why the last one... One of the best things to help you sleep is to spend time in prayer before going to sleep. I always look at it as if you're doing that, it's like you're falling asleep in Jesus' arms. He's rocking you to sleep. You're acknowledging him. You're listening to him. You're depending on him. And you're even sleeping in step with him and thinking about shopping at Aldi the next day. Habits. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And I'll just read through them again. The 7 habits of highly influential people. Read God's word daily. Pray regularly and with others. Attend church regularly for corporate worship, learning and ministry. Share the gospel at every opportunity. Value people and add value at every opportunity. Give generously. Look after God's creation. Leadership. Intentional influence in the context of relationship. And if you do that, you'll leave a legacy.